Here we go. It's the Freedom Fiend Sunday Live Show, April 28th, 2013. What's up, Mr. Michael Dean?
Yo, Nima, you been antiquing lately?
No homo, but yes, I did go antiquing yesterday.
Yeah.
Ironically, or maybe post-ironically, whichever you feel better about listening to me on the radio now.
How we, I think post-homo-ly?
Post-ironically. Or post-homo. Well, however you want to say it, man. Whatever makes it work in your brain space.
I think I'm post-homo. You know, I experimented in college with statism and homosexuality, not to be confused with each other, as we all do. But, you know.
Homosexuality is much more peaceful.
I just decided homosexuality wasn't my thing, and I decided statism was evil. So, I don't think homosexuality is evil. I rather enjoyed it when I was on enough drugs. But
but without the drugs, just kind of like,
I called you yesterday to tell you just a lot of club music and methamphetamine, man. We're the Freedom Fiends. We're going to be on radio. So
hey,
I called you yesterday to tell you we have our second radio affiliate. And it's Morning Zoo Crew.
We're getting ready for radio.
Yeah. So I called to tell you this, and you're like, wow, that's great, but I got to go because I'm antiquing with my mother-in-law. And I said, I paused for a long time. And then I said, like, you really have to say no homo after that.
Yeah. 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 And I did. I'm sorry. That was my social faux pas.
So we're talking about antiquing today, apparently.
My wife was a bridesmaid in a wedding. It was in Helotes, Texas, which is just north of San Antonio. And they've got this old town Helotes, which is one of those things where it's like an old town. And there are two giant shops that sell nothing but junk they dug up in the backyard. And so it's an antique shop.
That's not antique. That's junk.
Okay. Well, there was antiques too. I was trying to be funny.
Junk.
But anyway, junkie. I was with my
lovely bride. Oh,
my mother-in-law. No, my lovely bride was off getting pictures taken. You know, she's
you put on some old-fashioned like rural prairie prostitute clothes with a a bank robbery bag and a big lever-action rifle and some whiskey.
No. No, my wife was in the wedding party. So after the ceremony, they had to go and take pictures out in the woods for 2 hours. At least that was their cover story. So me and the mother-in-law had time to kill, and she pulls up to one of these antique shops, and I'm like, great, I'm going antiquing with my mother-in-law, just how I envisioned this Saturday. And then you called, and then I didn't want to be rude to my mother-in-law while I was on the phone with you. So I was like, I got to go. I'm antiquing with my mother-in-law. So that's the mother-in-law story. Sorry to disappoint.
So the news that I had for you was that we have our second radio affiliate. I can't say names of stations yet because no one signed any contracts, but a second station said, yeah, we're trying to get kicked off the air. No, I'm kidding. We'll take you.
We want to lose our license.
No, ching! You won't lose your license. We don't cuss, and we love.
Not at all.
And well, we say things carefully. We're careful with our speech. But yeah. I mean, I think that this station is the most interesting station in America and a great fit for the Fiends. I found this review of the station online. What's the deal with them? I was listening to G. Gordon Liddy this afternoon, stopped for a bite to eat, got back in my truck, and it was wall-to-wall accordions and trumpets with someone rapping in Spanish. I'm like,
I think they call that Tejano, actually.
Not rapping.
Yeah, well, Tejano, they have accordions, trumpets, and people sing fast in Spanish, or they can. There can be Spanish rappers in Tejano.
But I really like the idea of a station that follows G. Gordon Liddy with Spanish rapping. That's pretty cool, man. That's for us.
I thought G. Gordon Liddy retired or was dead or something.
Old statists don't die. They become talk radio hosts, apparently.
Okay.
Liddy's an interesting case. He was the right-hand man of Richard Nixon. He was an FBI agent, total right-winger, went to prison over the Watergate break-in. Like, Nixon was fine. Liddy went to prison. Got 20-year sentence, was commuted to 8 years by President Jimmy Carter, and then released from parole when it came up after 4.5 years in prison. And then he did a speaking tour with LSD proponent Timothy Leary on a series of debates which were popular on the college circuit. You know, it's like, hey, the weird square guy and the weird old square guy and the weird old hip guy. Let's go pay to see that and smoke a bunch of weed before we do. Richard Nixon, his boss, had labeled Leary the most dangerous man in America. And then Liddy had two guest appearances on the television series Miami Vice before becoming a syndicated talk show host. And what
is a transmission?
As a tranny. What he's best known for as a tranny crocodile from the swamps of Florida. Mm-hmm. What he's best known for, and I really have no comment on this, he said on the radio in 1994, G. Gordon Liddy said, and I quote, "Now, if the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms comes to disarm you and they're bearing arms, resist them with arms. Go for a headshot. They're going to be wearing bulletproof vests. They've got a big target on there, ATF. That says ATF. Don't shoot that because they've got a vest underneath it. Headshots, headshots, headshots. Kill the son of a bitches." End quote.
Huh.
He got in a lot of trouble for that. I can't believe he said it, but then he later sort of retracted it, and he claimed that his detractors omitted some important context. He says, "I was talking about a situation in which law enforcement agents come smashing into a house, don't say who they are, with their guns out, and they're shooting, and they're in the wrong place. This has happened time and time again. The ATF has gone in and gotten the wrong person in the wrong place." And I think that a former FBI agent saying all this, I don't think it sounds like some feisty self-defense thing. I think it's like interagency beefing. Like, if they're FBI, don't shoot them. But if they're that other guy that the FBI don't like, you know, but it's weird, man. He's
the
weird.
FBI's annoying little brothers.
Yes.
The ATF.
Yeah. Well, the FBI's been around forever, and the ATF, have they been around forever? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they all hate the DHS,
though. I always
kind
of assumed that Nancy Reagan created them, but I could be wrong.
In a lab under...
Yeah.
In her laboratory kitchen under the White House.
They were part of the Star Wars project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, either that or he switched sides and got some friends in the ATF and just wanted to see him rack up more kills and have an excuse to do so.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. So today's episode...
Of course, everything on The Fiends is fiction, so take that how you want to.
Yeah. Although there is a real town called Colon, Nebraska, with a population of 110. I think that replace Bum F Egypt or even Beast Lick, Wyoming when you're talking. They're like, yeah, what do you want me to...
Colon, Nebraska.
I got to drive out today to Colon, Nebraska or something to... Yep.
Yes. So now TV execs say, will it play in Colon?
Yes. I want to try to get us...
Peoria.
I want to see if there's a radio station there and get us on the radio.
I want to straight out of the Colon. Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, it's got a population of 110, so it wouldn't take much of a transmitter. Like, you know, about a tenth of a watt would probably cover it with a good antenna.
Right. An iPod and a little FM transmitter.
So today's...
You can buy it at Walmart.
Today's episode is the second to the last... This is kind of sad. It's the second to the last... LRN show we're doing live. I'm kind of sad. It's not that sad. Don't cry because we're going on to bigger and better things.
I overplayed it. Damn it.
We're going on to big.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Thing. You're acting for the theater. You got to act for the camera. Act smaller, man. Smaller. Okay. Smaller acting. Smaller emotions.
Less is more.
More intimate. Intimate.
Lion face.
Yeah.
Lemon face.
So I wish we had a corporate sponsor that was some kind of health energy drink, because we certainly sound like we're on one today. But
I think we're on penis flavor.
We're on Thunder Muscle, which you don't know what it is because you haven't seen the show.
This is a family friendly show here.
Thunder Muscle is a sports drink. Muscle. It's a sports drink on that show I've been watching called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret with David Cross and the guy. Who's the other guy from the guy that played Job? Yeah.
Will Arnett.
It's an okay show. It ran two seasons and then died a sad death.
It's no Louis.
Mm-mm. Louis psychedelic. So
yes,
today's...
But you will still get to listen to us on LRN. So
right.
Don't you fret.
Right. And Ian Freeman, who runs LRN, helped get us on radio. So whatever happens on there, it's his fault, people. So, but we want to thank him for bringing us up through the farm team. And then saying, yep, you're ready to go to the majors, son. Don't F it up.
Yes.
Here's a bat.
Yes. Yes. And so what will happen is we'll be on GCN and appropriate affiliates on Saturday and Sunday. So double the Fiends on the weekends from 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time. And I think Ian's just going to rebroadcast that show.
Yeah.
So you'll still get to hear us, but it'll be twice the Fiends on the weekend.
I want
to
be on
we're going to go to the market.
Inappropriate affiliates. That's what I want.
That'll be fun,
like
too.
In Colon, Nebraska.
We'll talk more about that when we get back from the market.
Yeah.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2525. solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yo. Hello, fiends. It is Nima Vidani and Michael W. Dean back for segment two of our Sunday live show, the second to last of this format on LRN. So moving on up.
Yeah.
To the beast side. Beastly like
beast
that.
Beast side. Yeah. So Hesperus wrote us and said, the ATF has been around forever. I believe they got their start sometime shortly after the passage of the 1968 Gun Control Act. They were originally the Alcohol Beverage Commission, and of course, they were just known as the Revenuers. You said there should be a band called the Revenuers, and I said, that's like the statists. Yeah. I'm sure there is some band, like, you know, in Colon, Nebraska, there's the Revenuers.
Statist Colon.
We can make fun of that town because they don't have a radio station there, so...
Oh, bummer.
But somebody said you could reach the whole town with a big boombox, so, you know.
I miss the old boomboxes from the 90s and 80s, man. Don't. Why?
I don't know.
You're old.
Well, you know, before that they had the Walkman, or after that they had the Walkman before they had the chromed robot turds, and, you know, it was kind of the same thing. And I had a friend that used to hate Walkmans and love boomboxes, and he said, boomboxes unite, Walkmans divide. And there's something to be said for that, but you don't always want to be united with what other people are listening to.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's backwards. I kind of see where he's coming from, but I don't know. It seems more divisive to play something into somebody's ears when they don't want it. I mean, it's going to divide them because they're going to run away or tell you to turn it off.
Your rights end at my ear holes.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So... today's episode is called The Statist Generation, because you were talking about how there was
speaking of old
you
people.
You made it up. You said there's a book called The Greatest Generation. It's about the World War II vets and those people.
Yeah, I think it was Tom Brokaw, somebody said at the end in the chat room, and I think he's right. One of the old top three, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. I don't remember which one he was, but Tom Brokaw. He used to be the nightly news guy. And yeah, he wrote a book called The Greatest Generation about how amazing those folks were for beating the Nazis. But man, they're the statist generation is what they really are.
There's some show I've seen, I can't remember what it is, but some old person is acting up and some younger guy says, hey, I know Brokaw. I can get him to take back that Greatest Generation stuff if you don't calm down.
I don't think Brokaw would do that, man. No, those people got to where they are by kissing the rectum of the top statist of their day. So
yeah.
They would never retract a statement like that unless they're already, I don't know, maybe if they're retired and they're already sitting on an island in Maui or near Maui, you know, some little thing off the map that nobody knows where it's at and just can throw shots. Maybe.
Well, what I want to talk about as the statist generation isn't the kids today. It's actually the punk rock stars that are my age or within, you know, 3 or 4 years either way of my age, like late 40s, early 50s, you know, mid-40s.
Is it time for peer-review journals?
It is. I just sent you a link. It's an interview with Jello Biafra. We're going to read some of this and comment on it. And this is really indicative. I mean, here's what old punkers do. The ones that are really smart, that were really at the top of their game, like Henry Rollins, Jello Biafra, Ian MacKay, Keith Morris from the Circle Jerks. You know, somebody wrote me today, Stefan wrote me and asked me, like, which of those guys is the closest to, like, having it right? And I'm like, really none of them, man. Jello's basic...
They don't even hit the dartboard.
Yeah. Although, half the time they do. Like, we're going to read this article, and he says some things that are so right on. But then he says things that are just ridiculous. Jello's basically a communist. Henry Rollins is basically a straight-up Democrat Obama humper who toes that line entirely. Jello seems upset with Obama for not going far enough, but he does call him out for being friends of big business, but he doesn't call him out on drones, which I and privacy stuff, which I think is really ridiculous because Jello's always been anti-war and pro-privacy. Let's see who else. I think that Ian.
Now, for those who don't know who Jello Biafra is, I don't think we said it yet, and we assume singer from Dead Kennedys. If you don't know Dead Kennedys, right? Old punk rocker. Very, very popular.
Yeah. And Henry Rollins sang in Black Flag and now does talking, standing around talking tours. And
he does complaining for the state.
Yes.
He's like, yes. Why don't you want more tyranny? You should want more.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And let's see. Keith Morris sang for the Circle Jerks and for a short time sang for Black Flag. Ian MacKay sang for Minor Threat and Fugazi. Ian's in my movie DIY or Die. I think of all those people... Of those four and of any of that group, I think the one that gets it the closest is Ian MacKay. I have heard him say, like, well, you need to go out and vote if you want to change things. But on a personal level, I think he walks his talk more than anybody because all those people were anti the man, anti state, anti big business. Ian MacKay is the only one who, you know, if sticking to your guns means not selling out by working for the man, Ian's the one who's done it. He runs his own label. You know, he's always kept his ticket prices low. He's kept his record prices low. He won't do interviews with mainstream media, which sounds really limiting and weird, but it's like, that's what he set out to do. And he still does it. Whereas like Henry Rollins plays an ATF agent in Bad Boys 2. Ian really stuck to his guns, man. He really did. And I have respect for that. And he's kind of more pleasant and seems to be better at, I think he's grown older better because he's kind of like, he's still doing stuff that's cool, but he's not out there in everyone's faces. He's just like attraction rather than promotion kind of thing, you know, and a lot of people still dig his stuff. So I like Ian MacKay.
Well, as Jello Biafra still yells at people with his shirt off and looks like an old uncle yelling in the street corner.
I look better than him with my shirt off, and I don't look very good with my shirt off. I know. I like the name of his band, though, the Guantanamo School of Medicine. That's a good name for a band.
That's kind of funny.
But his new record's called, like, you know, Why White People Ruin the World or some racist crap like that. What's it called? Let's read some of this interview. Go ahead and read
It's called White People and the Damage Done.
Yeah, like the needle and the damage done. But
that's racist.
Yeah, it is, man. Okay, this article is called Obama Owes Occupy Big Time. And that's the name of this interview. Okay. Hello. I'll be the interviewer.
Are we going to read the article or are we going to take some choice cuts?
Let's take some choice cuts. Let's get down to your new album. Let's see. How do you feel about the state of punk rock? Let's see. Where does he bash his... Okay. You've been involved with the Occupy movement. The initial media storm around it seems to have died down. Read the response there.
Okay. I'm not, I don't know how to do his voice, but I'll just do it.
It's kind of like this. Do it like this.
I think that anyone who declared the Occupy was a failure was a very much mistaken person. I knew it would have a ripple effect, like throwing a big piece of concrete into a lake and just watching the waves ripple. In a way, Obama owes Occupy big time for saving his ass in the 2012 election. Occupy brought the issue of inequality and grand theft austerity, as I call it, right to the forefront.
You've been outspoken when it comes to Obama. Over here, this is from the UK, Over here, he is widely regarded as a force of good.
Well, part of the reason you have that view is that Obama is a fantastic public speaker. He could be another Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or much, much more. But instead, the echelons of the Democratic Party are deal makers instead of leaders. Rather than trying to really initiate something important and push for it, it's more, oh, what kind of buck passing can we do here to keep our backers and puppeteers happy? And now he's totally right on with that.
He is totally right on with that. But he's saying, like, I want leaders. I don't want people making big business deals. I want leaders. That's mistake
that's
one.
He wants to be led around by a leash.
And he thinks people are stupid.
It's kink, but we don't want to.
He thinks his fans are stupid. He thinks they need leaders.
Ugh. Well, we don't. We need the market.
We'll be back.
Speaking of that, we're going there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to put a little bit more Goat Boy into my Jello Biafra impression.
Goat Boy.
That works.
There wasn't enough Goat Boy in the mix. Like,
no. You can put, yeah.
Kind of what he sings.
Goat Boy works for Jello Biafra. All right, this is the Freedom Fiends. Liberty Radio Network. And we are talking about the statist generation, which is...
Yeah.
People like Jello Biafra and Henry Rollins, who I've asked both of them to be interviewed on The Fiends and on The Gumbo, and Jello did not return my phone call, and Rollins did not return my email. And
What it is, the statist generation, it's people who complain that their tyrannical stepdaddy isn't spanking their brothers enough.
Right. So, since both of them have turned us down, we're just reading... a Goat Boy voiced version of a Jello Biafra interview and commenting on it. So, So Jello, are you optimistic about Obama's second term?
The key to how I feel about that song on our Shockupy EP called Barockster Obama. And it basically
Barockstar Obama. Barockstar Obama.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you for telling me the name of my own album. And it basically details the Obama policies versus the Obama persona. You've got to have an ego as big as Mars. An ego as big as Mars to do... What does he say here? You've got to have an ego as big as Mars to what you want to think that you do. Of all people, are better than anyone else to be president of the United States.
Okay, that's the pot calling the black president black, man. Okay, Jello Biafra has an ego the size of Los Angeles County, and he's saying, I don't like Obama because he has a big ego. But go on.
Yeah. And then he goes on, people that vain, they want their place in history, and they want to be able to control how much they'll be worshipped by future generations. What is Bill Clinton going to be remembered for besides his D?
Dick. Obama, you can say dick on the radio. You're reading
somebody. I can say dick on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What is Bill Clinton going to be remembered for besides his dick? Obama is much more electrifying speaker than Clinton. But what is his dream? What is his light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, I cut deals and compromise on a bunch of stuff, and now I'll go play golf.
So basically he's saying, Obama gets more attention than me, so I don't like it. And Jello is upset by that. And Jello's also upset that Obama is not doing his job as as a thief, that he's playing golf. I would rather that Obama just play golf all the time, literally. I mean, if you're going to have...
Although... I guess my thing is, when I read that, I was like, okay, that's one of the things that you're right on about, Mr. Biafra.
Well, that's one of the things that Fox News takes him to task for, too. So Jello's sounding like Fox News here.
Well, it's like that's libido dominante, basically, right? If you're going to be president, then you've got some kind of personality disorder. If you think that you, above everybody else in the world, gets to decide what goes and what doesn't, you have a God complex. You're a megalomaniac. That's the definition of the word, right? So I thought he was kind of on with that.
So Jello, what is it about American culture that is so terrified of left-wing ideas?
What you're basically asking with some of these questions is, why are Americans so fucking stupid? Let's face it. The good side of that is that I'll never run out of things to write songs about as long as I live. But the fear you mentioned has become more ingrained since I was a kid. It was Nixon's loudmouth vice president Spiro Agnew who first started labeling...
Spiro, we talked about him recently. He'd do it right.
He would pronounce it wrong.
No, he'd do it right. He's smart, and he's kind of like... as knowledgeable of politics as Scott Horton. Like, picture if Scott Horton took his powers for good and used them for statism and being an idiot like Jello.
Yeah.
He knows how to say Spiro Agnew.
Okay, fine.
Which an anagram for Spiro Agnew is grow a penis. But go on.
Okay. who first started labeling opponents of Republicans as radical liberals. Somehow, if you were a liberal, you were radical. And being radical is automatically bad because it might make you like the Black Panthers. Or worse yet, your kids might have long hair and listen to that weird music. So slowly but surely, quote, liberal became a dirty word. Look how averse Americans are to paying taxes.
Ugh.
It pisses me off too, but I realize what taxes are for.
Ew.
And most people don't,
ew,
because that connection has never been made.
Yes, it is.
Especially
all the time.
Not in the school system.
All the time in the school system. They teach you that in the school. They teach you what taxes are for.
Michael, yes. let Jello finish.
Okay.
Okay. I remember, even in kindergarten, we were taught about the Boston Tea Party.
Not
where
anymore.
The rebel colonists threw the tea off the ship because they didn't want to pay taxes to the British authorities. Taxes are bad. People grow up with this drilled into them, so you feel emotionally violated every time you write a check to the IRS.
This whole paragraph made me ill. He's basically saying taxes are good, and if you don't want to pay them, you're not a good person.
Well, come on, man. I mean, I thought he wrote songs about all the evil things the American police state and the American empire were doing, right?
I know. There's a big disconnect there. I mean, it's like... You know, I could see him saying,
the spying
okay,
on you, the,
I could
the
see
surveillance
him saying,
state, the murder.
I could see him saying, we need to change everything and then tax people to only use for good things. But he's not even saying that. He's saying, you should pay all your taxes right now, even though most of them are going to bombing brown children and spying on you and putting a cop on every corner. I mean, that's another thing is all these punk rockers back in the day were beaten up by cops. Jello was beaten up by cops. Henry Rollins was beaten up by cops. All these people were screwed with by the cops. And now they're so statist and don't see the disconnect that the statist generation backs the people that beat people up.
Right.
Also, Jello,
in his answer there, he doesn't even give an example of a good thing that taxes are used for.
Yeah.
I mean, according to him, if you just listen to Jello Biafra, taxes are used, like you said, to kill people. The taxes are used to pay the salary of that cop that beat him up and to blow little kids to bits. And to poison people.
Jello was totally screwed by the court system a couple times, man. Once for having penis pictures on a record cover. He got arrested for selling pornography to a minor and nearly went to prison
for it. Wasn't there IP battles he had
with
his old bandmates?
Yeah, he goes on about that. Let's jump down to, let's see, where he calls
him. Before we do that, the next paragraph is one that really upset me. So if we want
to
do,
let me jump back up to it because it's higher up. He says, I wrote the Dead Kennedys words and music. Okay. From what I hung out with members of the band other than him who said he didn't write the music. He would like tunelessly hum something and go, na 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 na. And then the guitar player would go, na 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 na. And you go, yeah, I wrote that. So right here, he's saying later on, other members claim they wrote them all, which is kind of like a secretary who types up someone's novel claiming they wrote the book. It's not fun when the guys you thought were your brothers your whole life turn out to be an entire coven of Mitt Romneys. Man. All right, go to where you were. Go to where you were.
Okay.
I don't know, man. There's this video of him here that has this image of his plump, shirtless body reaching out to me. I'm trying not to look at that.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with being plump, man. I'm plump, but you know, don't run around with your shirt off on stage and think you're Iggy Pop and invoke Iggy Pop. He said he started this band because Iggy Pop was cool and he wanted to be cool. So like, Iggy Pop is like 140 and looks like a god with his shirt off and has more energy than any teenager. So you're not doing it right, Jello. Put your shirt on.
Cocaine
at least
is a hell of a drug.
You don't do cocaine anymore. He just eats fruit and exercises and has that metabolism.
And has wheatgrass enemas. Those are great.
Yeah, so you say.
All right. So ask me the next question, Mr. Britt.
What would you change if you were in charge? What would you change if you were in charge?
I spoke often about my belief that there should be a maximum wage.
Ugh.
I still totally believe there should be.
Ugh.
I think a far worse addiction problem in this world than meth or crack or heroin is wealth addiction. And the only way you can cure people's wealth addiction is to put them in rehab. The problem with wealth addiction is that after you've made your first million, what's the point? You're so proud of yourself for making that money that you want to play the game again and win and then play it again. And when they act like a bunch of crack addicts.
I guarantee that Jello has made more than $1 million at music and speaking.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. And didn't quit, did he?
And here's a song playing that I wrote.
You make $1 million and you spend it.
Here's a song playing that I wrote that is inspired by Dead Kennedys music called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? Now we'll go to the market.
Right.
Yeah. I perverted the Dead Kennedys sound. For good rather than evil.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yo.
What? It's the Fiends.
Yo.
Yes, and we are here. It is Sunday, April 28th. Sunday is almost over. Yeah, I guess Sunday's almost over, too, but so is April, and we're here putting some liberty in your ear. What's up, Mr. Dean?
Yo.
Yeah.
We're talking about the statist generation, which is all the old punk rockers that were my role models as cool people when I was 20. All the people who the people who taught me to not trust the government. And now they're so statist, man. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. So go on with this Jello Biafra analysis. He ran for mayor against Dianne Feinstein and came in 4th out of 10 candidates back in the day. And one of his platforms was a maximum wage, which he's bringing up again here. What's your problem with that?
Well, there's so many problems with that. I guess my first would be... it would never be able to be accurately enforced with any level of efficiency. I mean, if you're going to tell people, oh, well, you can only pay people $1 million, even if you said, okay, $1 million a year, the people who really wanted, you know, the businesses who really wanted to attract the top guys would just find ways around it. I mean, just the same way that college football teams find other benefits to give
people. They give you cars and hookers and cocaine instead.
Cars, hookers, drugs,
Bitcoin.
Bitcoins. They could give
you. Yeah, Canada is taxing.
There's no way.
Canada, I have a breaking news here. Canada to tax Bitcoin transactions. Yeah, that'll happen. Ugh. That'll work.
Yeah.
We want you to declare
this. We'll definitely
this,
rip that a new one later.
We want you to declare this invisible thing no one can trace. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's my first thing is it would be unenforceable, I think. It's the same problem with any kind of price control in that it doesn't really let the market work in any kind of efficient way. What would happen is you would just have a bunch of people making the maximum wage regardless of whether or not they were the best for the job or not. And, you know,
it just seems like it would have that same socialist price, being unable to figure out the real price of labor in that system. The same thing that's wrong with the minimum wage, basically.
You know what I do in situations like this?
What?
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
And I guess the other point I would have is that his premise is wrong, and that's why he comes to this inaccurate conclusion that there should be a maximum wage. He says that the biggest problem in the world is wealth addiction. Well, the only reason that's a real problem is because the people who are addicted to that wealth realize that they have to get state power on their side, and then they use that state power, which is in essence aggression, violent aggression often. They use that state power to hurt other people and keep other people from breaking into the market or making a living even. And that's the root of the problem, is the state power. It's the reason why there are companies that the state calls too big to fail. It's the reason why there are entities like Monsanto that Jello Biafra probably hates. It's the reason why there's a military-industrial complex, or just the complex, which is basically every giant industry being in bed with the government.
Jello Biafra warned me, and like, he was my introduction to the fact that there is the complex. He didn't use that term, but all of his songs, and especially the album art, you know, all those collages by the guy who went by the name of Winston Smith, were warning about the complex. You know, I mean, I can't believe it. Just because Reagan isn't around to yell at for being in charge of the complex anymore, Jello isn't really going after the complex for anything other than not being complex enough.
Well, here's the thing, is greed is healthy if it's tempered by nature. Greed is what is the reason why humanity exists the way they do now. It's the reasons why we as a species, survived this long, is because people want to get more resources so they can get, they can attract a partner and they can feed their kids.
If you had a maximum wage, you would end up with a choice of products that resembled communist Russia, where you have basically like gray cans that say food, and they're not safe, or they probably would be safe, but and they wouldn't be gray cans. They'd be really shiny, pretty, colorful cans, but they'd be full of Monsanto stuff, and they'd all be the same, and you wouldn't have a lot of choice, and life would be gray. It'd be colorful. They'd slap some paint on it, kind of like in Cuba, in the ghettos, and in Mexico, they use a lot of shiny primary colors on the houses to make it look nice, but it's really a slum. That's what America would become if there was no maximum wage. And he completely,
or if there was a maximum wage,
he talks complete so much about these. We need laws to do this. We need law, and he doesn't even really take it into laws. He just says this needs to happen, but that can only be interpreted as there need to be laws. Maximum wage, that's a law, and he does not ever factor in that laws are in to if you add more laws, you have to add more cops and bureaucrats to enforce them. So he's basically saying, I want a cop on every corner. And you can't enforce the personal ones like without having a camera in everyone's house. So all those dead Kennedy montages on their records of, Big Brother spying on everyone in their homes, that was the antithesis of what he seemed to be portraying wanting back in the 70s and 80s. He's basically saying we need that now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it reminds me of Enemy at the Gates. There's this scene where one of the party officials is jealous of that famous sniper at Stalingrad because the girl, the love interest, the ingenue, wants the sniper and not the party official. And there's this little monologue he has where he basically says, we tried to create equality, but there will never be true equality, because even if we all make the same wage, others will be richer in looks, others will be richer in love, others will be richer in talent. There's no way to force that kind of baseline, whether it's a maximum baseline or a minimum baseline, on society, because people aren't homogenous. We're all individuals. We're all infinitely unique and different from our brother. There's no two people that are exactly the same. Even twins can have different personalities and different things they like, or different ways of talking.
Excellent rant number one of this episode.
There you go.
So let's skip some of his other crap and go down to the one I really like, which is, how has social networking affected your ability to get your views across to people?
Okay. Let me get back to the page here. All right.
But then you got to scroll it down so you can't see Jello Just look for Jello with his shirt off. It's right above that.
I see his hairy chest and his happy trail to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, because it's a long one. All right. So go ahead and ask the question again in your Brit voice, and I'll answer in my Jello voice.
Okay. Has social networking affected your ability to get your views across to people?
So much good has been brought in with the digital age, even though I'm not that big on it myself, but I recognize its power.
Man, you're making him sound far too cool. Okay. He doesn't sound like far a stoner. Cool. Okay. He sounds more like Ronald Reagan. Like, so much good has
so much. Ah.
Yeah.
Governor.
Jimmy Durante right. with a lisp. Go
I don't
for
know
that.
Jimmy Durante.
So much good
but
has been.
I recognize its power and its importance. The power of Twitter during protests and things like that is really good. But whether it makes it harder to actually communicate things of value long term, I haven't decided yet. It depends whether each individual person is using the tool or if the tool is using them. If they allow themselves nothing more than a Twitter sized attention span and assume that everything they see on the internet is true, then I've died more times than the average cat. I keep looking in the shower for the blood and the bullet holes, but I can't find them. But the latest internet rumor says I'm dead, so it must be true.
Do you have a Facebook page?
No. I don't. There are a few fake Jello Biafras out there, though, like Nima Fadadi. There is a side of that social networking that doesn't strike me as networking at all. It's more like having a trophy room full of virtual friends.
Yes.
It used to be that living in a world of imaginary friends was considered a mental illness.
Yes.
What do we have now? A mass epidemic of virtual mental illness?
Yes.
Or is it like-minded people finally finding someone that's like them and not feeling alone?
Well, that too.
That's the other side of it, I guess.
This is like the only thing he says in this whole interview that resonates with me. All of that. All right. Let's see. So it just goes on and on. There's nothing else.
I had like 12 different Jello Biafra voices.
I know,
sorry.
Man.
Sorry
Pick
for
a Jello.
My lack of consistency,
Pick a Jello.
Folks.
You haven't listened
to enough
of Jello.
I haven't.
Maybe we should play some Jello.
People talk differently than they sing, too. Let's play some of him talking.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard any of his spoken
okay.
word.
Well, find some. Okay. I don't know, man. I'd rather hear some music, I think. Oh,
well,
there's a comment. While you cue that up, I want to read this thing. There's a comment on here that this is like the kind of people who like Dead Kennedys. Apparently, the stupid people that Jello thinks need leaders. The market. Always with the market. We'll be back in 47 minutes of... No,
always
we'll be back
the
in
market.
7 minutes.
Yeah, there was a little bit of Woody Allen in that last Jello Biafra.
Always
with the market. Always with the Facebook.
It's the Freedom Fiends here. It's the Freedom Fiends here with the Status Degeneration, a dissection of punk rockers. Mm. Yeah. Worms.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Freedom Fiends.
It's the Fiends. We are back for hour two. Or second hour, back from the market, and Michael's going to lead us in because he has got amazing rant number two.
Yeah, here we are talking about the Status Generation. The Status Generation is all the old punk rockers who used to be cool when I was a kid, the people my age. And they're not just punk rockers, but musicians, man. Musicians make the mistake of thinking they have something to say and opening their mouth, and it's always wrong. It's almost always wrong. I mean, we got, let's see, Chris Novoselic, smart guy, bass player in Nirvana. He advocates for some kind of proportional democracy and thinks he's smart. He wrote a book about it. Ted Nugent, ultra pro-military, pro-war on drugs. Rage Against the Machine are commies, and they're pro-voting. They're anti-gun, but you can't be anti-gun and be pro-commie because you want the government to have guns then and use them. Mm-hmm. They're pro-voting. They're anti-capitalist, yep, too, but they're rich and on a major label. Joe Perry from Aerosmith endorsed McCain. Bono, from the UN. He from U2, from the UN. He is the,
from the UN.
He's a shill, yep, for the UN, right, basically. I've heard John Mayer is a libertarian, but who listens to John Mayer? If you search libertarian guitar player on Google, the second thing to come up is me. Why? Come on, man. I'm not that famous. There should be a great famous libertarian guitar player out there who comes up higher than me on a Google search, but there isn't. So we're going to play some more stupid musicians, and then we're going to prove how, if you want an old guy, famous role model these days who's a performer of some kind, you have to go to comedians or rappers. You can't go to rock musicians. But we tried to find some Henry Rollins, but he's so long-winded, we couldn't find, during the break, we couldn't find a chunk that says what he says. But he's basically like, everyone should vote Democrat. That's the solution to the world's problems. Republicans are dumb. And they are, but Democrats are dumb too, and Democrats like to blow up brown children and, you know, spy on the internet. So we're going to play Michael Graves, who was in the seminal punk rock band, The Misfits. Well, I think he was one of the ringers they hired later, but this is him in full, like, goth, spooky monster makeup on The Daily Show. Go ahead and play that.
Okay.
It's the left-leaning punk community. But Michael stands firm.
I like George Bush because he truly embodies what I believe a leader should have.
If you're a Bush man, aren't you raging for the machine?
Yeah, quite possibly. Raging for the Bush machine. But then again, you can look at it as raging against the machine. And that machine is the liberal left.
So there are two machines.
Yeah.
Like BattleBots.
The overwhelming punk sentiment is anti-Republican. Lawrence Arms frontman Brendan Kelly.
I think the idea behind punk rock was that, like, the status quo is no good. How stupid and lame is it to be like, you know what I think is kick-ass? The president. The White House. I'm so down with that stuff.
Agreed.
It's like, come on, guy.
And most of the other criticism Michael receives is equally as eloquent.
The last time I checked my mail was about 2 days ago. The first thing I clicked on, it said, "F you, I hope you die, you suck."
Do punks cry?
Punks cry, yeah.
Things weren't always so tough for Michael. His early life was full of happiness until his politics changed all that.
It could be said that Bush embodies the punk spirit.
I think so.
You know, he walks into the UN and he's like, "Hey, f*** you! F*** you! We're gonna go into Iraq! And we're gonna rock Iraq! We're gonna rock Iraq! F*** you!" Of course, I'm paraphrasing.
Michael's political message is not lost on his fans. But to be accepted by other punks, you have to reject the same things they reject.
Being a conservative and being a punk rocker are opposed to each other. You can be a conservative punk. You can be a black guy that's into white power.
Like a vegan who hates vegetables. Or an astronaut who's terrified of zero gravity. A mountain climber who hates Sherpas.
Sure.
When asked whether punk was liberal or conservative, most Americans thought it died in the 80s. Ultimately, punks are all outsiders. And while there may be differences, tolerance and mutual respect triumph.
I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody how to live their lives. You know, it's like, you can be a conservative punk. That's a fine way to be if that's what you're into, but it's stupid. The guy paints a skull on his face. That's some weird.
In summation, temporary face paint, stupid. Permanent arm paint, awesome. After realizing what dicks those other guys are, I decided to take Michael to a place where his views are accepted.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Rest your weary soul, Michael. Fret no longer. In this place, your politics fit right in. Nice forehand.
All right. And he was taking him to golf? A country club at the end there. Yes, he was playing golf and tennis.
He should have had him go speak at a Republican meeting. They would have just said, "You're weird. Get out of here, man." There you go. He actually later, I think, came around to conceding that Ron Paul was a good idea. But I think that's only after everyone laughed at him for this Daily Show bit.
Well, yeah, this was during the Bush era. And the guy that was the foil in the story, in the fake news piece, was like, dude, being a punk is like being against the status quo. And how stupid is it to say, yeah, I love the president? Which is what the punks are doing now, right? Yeah, I love the Obama. He's the president.
Yeah.
So,
and they think there's a difference, man. They think, like, just because the guy's hip or something, or, you know, isn't an old gray hair, although he's becoming an old gray hair. He's aged like 20 years as president for five.
Yeah.
So people are stupid. They think
it's all the complacency, man. That stuff makes you go gray. That's one of the side effects.
When asked about punk rock, most people thought it died in the 80s. That's awesome. Yeah. So what else we got? We got some. I want to read this little bit from the Jello Biafra article. It's the lamest comment of the year. It's someone named Lumo, which I guess is a lame-o named Lou, said, a friend of a friend went to a Dead Kennedys gig in the early 80s, and in the melee at the end of the gig ended up liberating Mr. Biafra's microphone as a souvenir. The next night, the same chap attended a Cramps gig and found himself adjacent to Mr. Biafra. He told Jello how chuffed he was about having such a top-notch trophy, and the frontman got majorly pissy about the whole thing. Apparently, they rent the microphones, and that comes out of his paycheck, man. Not a very punk anarchic attitude, really. I have major problems with that, man. First of all, I agree that if Jello is that into redistributing wealth, he shouldn't have a problem with someone stealing his microphone.
Redistributing mics.
Right. But I have a big problem with this not a very punk anarchic attitude. There's nothing anarchist about stealing crap, you know. There really isn't.
Yeah.
Explain why.
Yeah, I would be miffed if somebody stole my mic too.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we've also, as the redemption here, we've got some Doug Stanhope for Michael's point that, hey, listen to comedians, or at least some comedians. Now, there are bad comedians who have bad worldviews, like,
and they
the
all performed
say,
last
yeah,
night.
You should beat your kids more.
Well, then there's the ones that are totally statist that all performed last night, like Tracy Morgan and Wanda Sykes. Not saying it's just the black ones, those are the ones that I saw. Were performing. Who else performed? Obama performed in whiteface, didn't he? And played like Daniel Day-Lewis?
No, he did stand up in his normal half-white face, but there was a clip he did where he was being Daniel Day-Lewis, and I don't know if he actually did whiteface for that, but the thumbnail on the Guardian article about it has
looks
him
like
putting
it
on white makeup, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, there are statist comedians. There are also libertarian or anarchist-ish, or at least hating the status quo musicians, i.e. Lupe Fiasco, or rappers, I guess. So which do we want first? Do we want some Stanhope?
We want to go to the market.
And we'll come back with that.
Because we're market anarchists. So
we'll talk amongst ourselves while we're at the market, or on the way to the market at least. And we'll come back with some awesome clips.
Some redemption in the third act.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride.
Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
It's the Fiends. We're back for more Freedom Fiends Live, our Sunday show. What it do, Mr. Dean?
We're talking about the statist generation. Yeah. All the old punk rockers who hated the man, who now are licking special places on the man. And what to do about them. And where to go instead for your entertainment. You know, I used to really like Patton Oswalt. He's funny as hell, but he's really not funny when he loves the state and licks it. And
yeah,
he got worse about gun control. I mean, he got worse about everything recently. He said, he tweeted something like NRA members should be lined up and shot. And he was serious.
How
man.
Hypocritical is that? Let's use guns to shoot the people who have guns because it's bad to have guns. Idiot.
Well, it is admitting that guns can be used for different purposes because it's, you know, they're sort of agreeing with us there. In that it's not the gun, it's what you do with it, in a way, yeah. I think, because they're...
You know. It's like saying, I only like guns when they tyrannize the minority.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Ugh. Disgusting.
So you have some good stuff to play,
yeah,
don't you?
Doug Stanhope gets it right.
Yeah.
Found a clip of him.
Although he voted for Obama. He voted for Obama.
I think he addresses that in the first bit here. It's a 7-minute thing called Doug Stanhope, Politics, Religion. I'll try to – hopefully he starts with the politics and we'll cut it off before he talks about religion, because we're not always that kind of show, at least not right now. So here's Doug Stanhope, a little rant from him. The audio quality is good. I, again, haven't really heard the content yet, so we'll make a call on the fly here.
Obama shit? I'm on the Obama bandwagon strictly from the point of view as a casting director, and we all have a responsibility to not just our country, but the world, to cast someone who's cool to watch, because they're not leaders. These people are not leading you, if you really believe that. If you need a fucking leader, you're a weak fucking faggot. Hire a dominatrix and have her put you on a dog chain and walk you around the room and rub your nose in your own piddle. If you need to be led, you're fucking weak. Anyone who's in office, and the fucking libertarians let me down. They fucking elected. That was at least my outlet vote was a libertarian party. But they fucking, this Nazi Bob Barr hijacked the fucking nomination this year. So I can't even do that. So just from a standpoint of being a casting director, which is what we are, we're going to have to watch some douchebag play the role of leader of the free world for the next 4 years. Pick the guy that's cool and fun to watch. Right? At least, because that's all it is. It's just a fucking movie at this point. Pick the guy of the two. If he's going to be the leader of the free world, and he's going to, when the asteroid is hurtling towards the Earth, and he has to pull Bruce Willis out of retirement to go on a rocket ship and blast that fucking thing out of the sky, I like the fucking cool chocolate covered guy. Barack Obama's my fucking dude. He's fucking cool to watch, so why not? If I can make us look better to the rest of the world when I go to play in fucking Norway next time, or England, or the UK, they won't spit my fucking sandwich because they heard my accent and think I'm an asshole because the fucking leader of our free world is an asshole and I must be one. That's why the fucking, oh, yeah, what about Sarah Palin? She's a fundamentalist Christian creationist. You go,
all right,
so what?
All right.
Why is
all right. Not,
so at
not
least you
that
get where he's coming from. I'm not the funniest bit.
I'm not
world,
censoring him for bashing Palin. I would bash Palin all day long. But I just want to comment on he still just doesn't quite get it. I actually, I wrote to him and asked him to do an interview, and he never wrote back. So that's my naysaying to anybody who says, oh, you're just bashing Jell-O and Henry because they didn't do an interview with you. No. You know, I like Doug Stanhope, but I still think he doesn't get it quite right. And there's a lot of people.
This is four years ago at least here.
So. Right. I wanted to do a follow-up with him because of that piece and say, you know, now that he's killing a bunch of brown children and more in bed with big business than George Bush was and more concerned with taking away our internet freedoms, how do you feel about your chocolate-covered cool dude now? You know, do you still think that you want to cast him? Do you think he makes you look good on the world stage? I guess he does, because that interviewer for The Guardian in the UK interviewing Jell-O was like, well, over here, Obama is generally regarded as a force for good.
Ugh.
Although that got to speak for all of England.
That's from socialist England, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Next up, we got some more redemption here.
From a chocolate-covered cool dude.
From a chocolate-covered cool dude. Lupe Fiasco, one of my favorite all-time rappers, especially with regard to subject matter. I will play some music or a verse from him. The first verse in his new album, Guns and Weed. What is it? Food and Liquor. I was close there. Food and Liquor 2,
yeah.
Great American rap album. But first, he was on Bill O'Reilly a couple times because he called Obama a terrorist. And so here, I think it's the second time, or at least Bill O'Reilly complaining about Lupe. And I think there's a clip of the interview where Bill O'Reilly was just flabbergasted that this young black dude was calling the president a terrorist. Here we go.
Chicago rapper Lupe Fiasco, who is promoting an album, called President Obama a terrorist. Now, we're used to irresponsible statements from rappers, but that's really over the top. So I invited Mr. Fiasco on The Factor to discuss it. What do you mean President Obama is a terrorist?
My fight against terrorism, to me, the biggest terrorist is Obama and the United States of America. To put it into context, I was asked about a song that I did called Words I Never Said, which addresses terrorism.
I really think the war on terror is a bunch of bull. Just a poor excuse for you to use up on your bullets.
So the statement that I made, which was I believe that the biggest terrorist, Obama and the United States of America and its foreign policy, that was what the whole, you know, context of everything was. And it was really just an expression of me trying to, I guess, understand critically, you know, the society.
You know, President Obama is not a terrorist. He's trying to do what he believes is the right thing to do. The United States is not a bad nation. It's a noble nation. We're trying to defend ourselves against people who killed us on 9/11. And then you go out there and you talk to a lot of younger people. And this is what gets me. That your constituency are not exactly political science PhDs, okay?
They're impressionable
kids. I don't think that that matters. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to have a political PhD to understand politics. To understand politics, I don't think you necessarily need that. And I don't think that politics are as complex as people like to make them seem or out to be. Richard Nixon said that, you know, they reduced fear by reducing the causes of fear. And in that same interview, which I spoke about, you know, calling Obama a terrorist and every president before and after him a terrorist, right, is that if you're going to fight terrorism, right, true terrorism, you know, weaponize fear. In defense of ourselves, we're actively fighting something else. But if you're going to fight terrorism, to me, you fight the root causes of terrorism.
The root causes of terrorism are many, okay?
Yeah.
Wow. See, Lupe gets it right there.
Yeah.
Not only does he call Obama a terrorist, but he says every president before him.
Yeah. Nima has to take a quick run to the bidet, and I'm going to comment while he does that. He's not actually going to the bidet, but I'll explain what he's doing while he does it. He's doing a little bit of a technical improvement here because the Fiends are all about great sound. And, you know, one reason we couldn't play any clips of Henry Rollins was because all the ones that were filmed by fans had such horrible audio. And people need to go to creamyradioaudio.com and learn how to do sound over the internet or in person and do it well and have it sound good. And we're going to go to the market and probably hear an ad for Creamy Radio Audio or something good like that. And then we'll be back on The Freedom Fiends, an episode called The Statist Generation.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Sign up to receive statuses at LRN.FM.
Sign up to receive what? Statism?
The status. No, I guess you don't do that at LRN.FM.
No.
You do that at WhiteHouse.gov.
You do that at BillO'Reilly.com.
BillO'Reilly.com.
That guy's horrible, man. That guy is a terrorist. He terrorizes people for a living. And how dare he be das racist and tell Lupe Fiasco, your fans aren't very politically smart. And that is the pot calling the chocolate-covered black man black in saying, your constituency isn't very politically aware, unlike the average Fox News viewer of Bill O'Reilly.
Right, right.
Man.
Yeah, exactly, man. Now, I would put up a Lupe Fiasco true fan, because if you're a true fan of Lupe, you know his albums and you know the lyrics to his songs, and just that would probably make you beat any Bill O'Reilly listener on a political aptitude test any day. My money would be on the Lupe listeners any day.
I took my shirt off, man. It's getting warm here in Wyoming. And, you know, I can do that because I'm not Jello Biafra on stage who should leave his effing shirt off.
Radio.
He really should.
Yes. I mean, You've got a body for radio, Michael.
Leave it on. I have a body and a face for radio. I know. I'm not young and skinny like Ian Freeman, who has a webcam where you can watch his
news
studio.
Director in Washington told that to me about a few of the, you know, school districts and various government agencies. They'll have a PR person whose job is to coordinate with the media. No, public relations. And one of the ladies there at one of the districts in the school districts, my news director would always say, oh, yeah, she has a face for radio. I'd be like, that's mean. You're right, but that's mean.
There's a Simpsons like that where, let's see, Mr. Burns becomes a twisted morphine addict, and his face is kind of lizard-like, and he's twitching and licking his lips. And Lisa's like, you need to get your message out there on radio.
Yep.
On the radio trolla.
So speaking of getting your message on radio, I'm going to play the first half of a verse from Lupe Fiasco's latest album, Food and Liquor 2. The song is called Ital, Roses in parentheses. And this is basically him addressing the fact that he called the president a terrorist. So this is his shot back at Bill O'Reilly on wax. He put it on the wax. So here you go.
Called the president a terrorist. Corporate sponsors like, how the fuck you gon' embarrass us? Ain't my fault, I was just repeating this. Professor Emeritus from America, but my tone was like an Afghani kid without a home. Blew that bitch up with a drone, and Iraqi with no daddy, Palestinian throwing stones. The fuck you think they call him? I'ma leave that all alone, cause this...
Yeah, and we won't play that when we're on radio, by the way.
No, no.
If there's any program directors listening.
So the beauty of that to me, you know, I kind of don't like that he says, well, it's not my fault. I was just quoting a professor.
That's a cop out, man.
That's a cop out. But then after that, he says, my tone was like an Afghani kid without a home, blew that bitch up with a drone, an Iraqi with no daddy, a Palestinian throwing stones. He's like, what the F do you think they call him? Because that's where the truth is what do you think the people over there, the brown people you're bombing, what do you think their family calls President Barack Obama when he blows their children to pieces, when he blows their pregnant wives to little bitty bits of dust? What do you think they call Barack Obama? I bet it's something in their language that means terrorist.
Anybody that supports what America is doing over there is either really, really evil or really hypocritical or really unknowledgeable. Because, you'd have to be really unknowledgeable to know that they're blowing up, you know, 50 people at a wedding party to kill one suspected terrorist. you have to be really evil to think that's good. You know, I mean, a lot of people from a lot of comments I see on sites about things like that, there seems to be an attitude of, well, you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. Like, you know, I mean, I've heard things like they shouldn't be living around those terrorists then. That's not how it works, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. They should have more responsible fathers, like the White House press secretary said about the teenage American kid who got blown up by a Barack Obama drone in a specific strike to target that specific teenage American.
Yeah, you should pick different parents.
Should have had a different dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And or you just are a hypocrite, because a lot of people that support the war over there are Christians. And who would Jesus drone, man? I mean,
okay, that's the next meme.
I think it's been done. I've heard it somewhere.
It's genius, though. Okay.
It really is. I mean, how can you be a Christian and be in favor of, you know, blowing up innocent children in the Holy Land, of all places? So,
yeah, man,
you're the devil. Awful. You're the devil if you're a Christian and you think, man, people keep typing great stuff in the chat room and I keep using it without even crediting it. And it's like, you know, I'm wondering how many famous talk show hosts have that now. Like, you know, do you think, I mean, Rush Limbaugh isn't very funny, but occasionally he makes a joke and it's kind of funny and it seems really on the spot connected to what he's talking about. Do you think he's got a little chat program on one of his computer screens and he's got, like, you know, some guy who went to Harvard Comedy School and couldn't cut it on The Simpsons sitting in the next room with headphones on? Just typing jokes for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Well, my gem here that I see in the chat room right now is Central Scrutinizer says, all I see is a giant pile of eggshells and not one effing omelet.
You know, when you said Central Scrutinizer, you dropped out. I think actual Central Scrutinizer didn't want that name to get through.
Maybe. But okay, that gets to the root of it right there is, we have no omelet to show for all of these eggs they're supposedly breaking to make the omelet. There is no increased safety. Things like the Boston bombing still happen.
That's the omelet you have to show.
You don't get anything.
It didn't still happen. It happens because of that kind of stuff. If that's not a false flag, if the government's going to go with that's terrorists, you know, which it could be. I mean, there are evil people in the world that aren't in the government. If that was terrorists doing what they did, you know, it's not we're still having things like that happen. It's that's what happens.
That's why.
When you're over in the world, around the world, acting like the arrogant, drunken teenage police of the world.
Right, right. There you go. That's the omelet that we get. You want to make an omelet, a status omelet?
That's all
it is. The status omelet is blood and death and
destruction. Bill O'Reilly would call me a terrorist for saying this, or, you know, I mean, like, what was Lupe doing that was any different than what we're doing? I mean, he was basically just saying, he was calling it like it is. He was saying, you know, the American foreign military policy, which is pretty much the responsibility of whoever's president. I mean, really, it's the responsibility of a long line of crap and bad decisions and statism and war and military industrial complex and the complex and voters doing stupid, stupid things like voting.
Outsourcing their violence.
Yeah. But ostensibly, the president's in charge of it. The president is the commander in chief of the military. So he literally could bring everybody home with the stroke of a pen. He could do it tomorrow, you know, so he could end that crap. I don't know that the terrorism would end. I don't know how long a memory terrorists have. I don't know if they're like, oh, well, you've been bombing us, you know, since Cain and Abel, but you stop now, so we'll stop retaliating. But I think the amount of it would go down.
I think so, too. And it would be, you know, it would take some time. I mean, I think people are so cynical, they'd be very distrustful of something like an American pullback. And it'd take time, but it's better than the alternative. It's better to just keep doing the horrible thing. I mean, when you're ready to repent and you're ready to make amends, people are going to be distrustful. They'll be like, oh, well, we heard that before. Or, oh, well, yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. And it's going to take a while for them to see it before they actually believe it.
Yeah.
But that's the only appropriate course. That's the only option that is actually moral. And I think it is doable. You know, I don't think it's not doable. I mean, Ron Paul even says, well, yeah, I just put all the troops on a boat, ship them back to America. That's all it takes.
Planes.
Sign an order.
Planes, man. They got planes. You could do
planes,
quicker
boats,
than a boat.
Whatever it takes. Yeah.
Planes, boats, trains, automobiles, bicycles. Bring them home, man. Bring them home.
Yep, exactly.
Yep. Bring them home and put them on every corner to take our guns. That's what might happen if they did that. But Yeah, and you know, the thing we're talking about, this cause and effect thing, there's a term for it. It's called, and a lot of people call it unintended consequences. Another word for it is blowback. And the term blowback, all one word, is actually a term that was created by the CIA for exactly this thing. And the CIA actually did a white paper about how, a declassified white paper about how 9/11 was blowback for what America does over there. So if it's not a conspiracy theory, man, when the CIA is saying it. Although they are the head of conspiracy generation. That's one of their functions. That's the product they produce.
Right.
We'll be back after we go to the market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah.
Yo.
It's those crazy Fiends.
It's the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
And we're off the status generation, but we're going to talk about some box fresh pot beef against the Fiends. So there's this new Stefan Molyneux page.
Molyneux? Yeah.
It's a hater page for Stefan Molyneux on on the Facebooks, I'm told.
Sipping on that haterade, looking at that hater page.
Is that a word? Is that a thing? Is that a
haterade? Yeah. Yeah, that's what haters do. That's what they sip on. Haterade.
Yeah, well, somebody's got one about Stefan Molyneux called Deep Thoughts with Steffi Boo. And let's take off on the Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. Saturday Night Live skit. Yeah. So, and it basically is someone pretending to be Stefan Molyneux and saying some things that he would actually say, and then interjecting things like, everyone needs to bow down and worship me because I am the king of liberty. and making fun of universally preferable behavior by making it even more mathy than it is. And one of the things that they're really going after is the fact that he told someone not to bother sending $2. And that's become a thing, making fun of him for that. And I really think that we should capitalize on this, being the anarcho-capitalists we are. We should make an ad. We should make an ad that says, send the Fiends your money, even if it's only $2. Hell, we'll send us $2 right now. We'll take it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, now, I understand.
To be fair, yeah. Go ahead.
I understand why people were upset by that, but I also understand Molyneux's point of view. The original post was on Facebook, and all it said was, just got a $2 donation, and then there was a frowny face. And people tried to rip him a new butt over that. And all Molyneux was really saying was, I feel bad that that's all I got. And he did.
Now, do you think he was backtracking and trying to whitewash what he meant? Do you think he may have originally meant, this is such a small donation?
Well, he actually released a podcast. It was one of his Sunday shows where he accepts calls. He does it every Sunday. And one of the callers was like, hey, man, I mean, that could have been a single dad and all he had was $2. And also you say that an appropriate or fair donation is $1 per hour of content that you listen to. Maybe he's a new listener, listened to 2 hours and gave you $2. And him and Molyneux went back and forth. But in the end, Molyneux says, okay, I can kind of see that point. And, you know, right, I'm sorry if I offended the person who did that. It's basically was his take on it. So he kind of did realize that it sounded to some like he was being an arrogant baby. And he sort of he did backtrack, but not in a bad way. Like, oh, I'm sorry if you're hurt.
I have very different views about donations than Stefan Molyneux, apparently. Because first of all, I think it's arrogant to set here's my suggested amount you owe me for being brilliant. I would never do that. However, on the other hand, if you are a homeless single father and your kid needs medicine and all you've got is $2 and you want to send it to the fiends, we'll take it, man. I will gladly take your money. This isn't some Christian morality play where the most love from God goes to the woman who only gave a copper penny who was homeless in some Dickens novel because she was, you know, she gave the most of what she had. No, man, I don't care how poor you are. If you send us money, we'll use it for liberty or, you know, buy cat treats and pornography with it. Who cares? We don't owe you anything and you don't owe us anything. There's no set amount we want people to donate. If you want to donate, send us your money. If you want to donate your last penny when you're starving, we'll take a 2-cent donation as long as we don't have to pay 35 cents to PayPal to get it. If you send us 37 cents and PayPal takes their 35 cents and gives us 2 cents and you're starving, we will thank you for it. You know, we're not going to praise you like, oh, that's better than everyone else. And God smiled down on you. No, man, just send us your money.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. But if people say dumb things sometimes, even Stephon Molyneux, there's no great men out there. There's no great man theory.
That's kind of the point of this page too, is making fun of the great manness some people have assigned to Stephon. Right. It has very little to do with him, I think, and more to do with the worship that some people have of him.
Right. Right. Which, everybody has missteps. Everybody gets things wrong sometimes.
Which brings us to the point of, reading this page, the real reaction I had to it was, that's kind of funny, but, you know, how come we're not cool enough to have a hater page? And about 2 minutes later, out of the blue, I said this to somebody, to one of our admins on Facebook, and he sent me a link to a Fiends hater page. I was kind of pleased. I was like, okay, we've arrived, even if it only has 3 people who've liked it. And one of them is the guy who's made it. And he is, he's liking his own posts, which, we know there's a meme about that going around. It's a picture of a lion licking its testicles. And it says how you feel and look when you like your own posts on Facebook. So
I hear that lion famunda is very good with a little bit of wine. White wine.
Did you know that lions and tigers respond to catnip the same way that house cats do? Can you imagine?
I guess that makes sense, but that'd be hilarious.
Would be awesome and scary.
So if you're on a safari, carry a bag of catnip in your pocket.
No, because they'll find you and take it from you.
News you can use.
News you can lose your life to. All right, so this page is called Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom page does not tolerate dissent. And I believe it is started by a guy named Heath Hissock, who actually used to be a buddy of mine on Facebook. And I'm pretty sure it's him because he's the only person who's liked it that you can see. And he says, Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. What an interesting movie. But I was Facebook friends with one of the creators, Michael Dean, before he closed his account. He has some lovely kitties, too. I can only assume he is no longer involved with that page, or he has changed enough, or enough time that has passed, that I feel I must put this up and warn others to avoid the movie, the page, and Angry Peasant Films. Oh, and the URL for his page is facebook.com/stupidpeasantprod.com, like Stupid Peasant Productions, as opposed to Angry Peasant Films. And he says, why? Because as consumers of pro-liberty products, it is always in the interests of the consumers to take into account the actions and integrity of those who he supports. Man, nobody talks like that. I will explain more in a later post and cite more issues as time allows. First of all, nobody talks like that. He's trying to sound smart. And he's trying to talk like Thomas Jefferson or something. I don't know. Second of all, Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom page does tolerate dissent. It doesn't tolerate people being dicks. And from what the admin told me, and I'm not on that page, I didn't have anything to do with this guy getting blocked, but I support why he got blocked, which was being a dick. Apparently, he posted something about how great Rand Paul was, and the no government friend of ours who admins the page made some snippy comment about, you know, statism or about Rand Paul being a hypocrite or, you know, backing droning of Americans when it's legally done, but not when it's illegally done, which is true. So this guy Heath got all snitty and started being a dick, which, you know, I don't care if you're a communist Obama humper or both, if you're on a page that I admin or know the admin of or, you know, helped create. If you're polite, I'll let you on. Like, you know, I have a friend who's a straight up communist who used to post all the time, and I would have discussions with him on Facebook. But if you agree with me 100%, if you are an anarcho-capitalist, deist, you know, gun owner who doesn't smoke pot and believes weed should be entirely legal and unregulated, if you agree with me 100%, but you're a dick, you're going to get thrown off. You can't be a dick, man. Mm-hmm. And then he's going.
He was saying that the admin was a dick. Seems to be his argument. But
I
even
saw
from
it.
His
I
point
saw
of
it.
View,
he was a dick.
His point of view, he still seems like the dick because he's trying to jump on Rand's nuts. And all it seems like the Guns and Weed admin was saying was, "Hey, you know, drones aren't good because they do kill innocent people." And this guy, according to him, these are his words, "I commented that they were becoming shrill and the only thing more silly would be some hypothetical scenario of innocent victims, etc. Before I finished my post, they did just that. The page implied that he would support leveling entire buildings of innocents."
He would.
As we all know, that is silly.
No.
I don't think that is silly.
Rand Paul basically supports drones used over there, but not here. But now he's actually saying he would support him to use a guy with a gun who just robbed a liquor store and is running out of it. So,
right.
Rand Paul's
an idiot.
We all
know that drones aren't perfect. I mean, drones, they're
not a rifle bullet,
the lightning bolt of Thor, but they're not.
They kill everyone around him. So he's going on and on about, like, the free speech, his free speech being violated. And I'm like, that's not violating free speech because he still has the free speech to go start this other page. We just kicked him out of our party. You have rights over your own property, and your Facebook page is sort of your property, sort of Facebook's property, but it's definitely not someone who's, you know, a user on it who's not the admin's property. So here's what I think someone should do. I think they should go on this page and post the picture of the lion licking its balls. And then when he blocks you, start a page called Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom page does not tolerate dissent. Page does not tolerate dissent. And we're out for this week.
All right.
We're the Freedom Fiends. Drop the mic.
Yeah.